peace to you from the Lord our God, creator of heaven and earth, and through the living Spirit of Jesus Christ. How good it is to gather together today. Today is a very exciting morning in worship. Today, if you did not know, is the first day of Kids Quest, our Sunday school program.
Thank you.
invite you to settle into your seats and turn your attention inward. And find your anchor, your center, your rock, your heart. And know that at your center, in your heart, your anchor, your rock, is God. Consider all of the time since we have gathered together last. I invite you to remember the time since we've gathered together last, what you've done, where you've been, what you've said. I invite you to give the time that has passed to God. And I invite you to consider the week that is to come, the future. And I invite you to give the future and give it to God. Here we are. The crux, the fulcrum of all that has been and all that will be. And I believe that it is very difficult to go into the future while being weighted down or clinging to the past. And so you can leave here the things that weigh you down. You can just simply put them on the pew next to you. Or you can lift them aloud. As you feel comfortable, you can feel free to lift aloud your joys, your concerns, your hopes, your fears, your worries, your very self to the people who are seated around you. Other joys or concerns that you would share at this time.
All along the way, people were so kind and so helpful. Thanks for sharing.
Continue prayers for the family of Wayne Roman as friends and family gather to celebrate his life and second funeral.
Thank you. There are words printed in our bulletin and on our screen, and we can share them together as you feel comfortable, as you feel guided. We can pray together saying, Spirit of God,
open our hearts so that the Spirit of your Christ may find a home within us.
You and loves you. You are enough. And beloved, we are all children of God. Together we are sisters and brothers, journeying with our brother Jesus, who taught us and teaches us how to pray. And so we pray together to our common parents. We pray saying, Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Does it feel like a home here?
No,
it's okay.
take a look at all, do you see all those people out there? Do you know who all of them? Do you know who they all are?
Well, I don't know who all of them are either. But we are learning more and more about each other every day, and learning more and more names every day. And I'm guessing that they're working hard to learn your names too, and to learn more and more about you. Today is the first day of Kids Quest, and I don't know about you, but when I went to the first day of school, I used to be so nervous about the first day of school. How was your first day of school? Was it okay? It takes time, doesn't it? And I thought, what helps? What helps when I feel kind of nervous? And I knew that I was supposed to say, carrots and apples and raisins really help. But I also knew that carrots and apples and raisins don't help me feel better. Do you know what helps me feel better? And I won't do this again, at least until Halloween or until Christmas. I mean, I won't do it again. But you know what helps me feel better? Gummy bears help me feel better. How do you feel about gummy bears? Are they good? Yeah. So here, why don't you take a handful of gummy bears, and we'll bless you, and then you can go to Kids Quest, because it'll be fun. Oh, I forget how little your hand. The one who sticks up, you have in pockets? Okay, so here's the deal. I'm going to keep these gummy bears in my office. But whenever you come to church and you need a little nourishment for your soul, you know where they are. They'll be right on the table in the Amish, okay? Okay. So, we need a little nourishing for our souls, and gummy bears help, don't they? Yeah. So, will you help me bless all of our kids and our teachers? Okay. So, your blessing hand warmed up. You can open up your hands and shoot them out towards these kids. You can open them on your heart, or just keep your hands open, okay? And help us bless. Aren't they beautiful? Aren't they beautiful? Aren't we so glad that they're here? Yeah. So let's help bless our teachers, because our teachers need to. Do you need some gummy bears? Sometimes, seriously, they'll be on my desk in the office anytime you ever need them. Because I don't know, I just take 17 of them. And I know that sometimes when you're a teacher, maybe sometimes it's tough. It's not always just the easiest job in the world. So if you need some nourishment for your soul, you know where to go. And then promise to help each other. Okay, so there are words printed in our bulletin on the screen, and we can help bless them. But today's not the only day you're blessing them, right? Every day, whenever you see them, you'll come to know their names, learn about their lives, right? And we'll be safe and loving people in their lives, right? Okay, let's bless. We say, bless all the children this day, O God. May all children everywhere be free from suffering and hunger. May every kid know their God. Give our kids curious minds and loving, brave hearts. Give us the gift of joy. Have a wonderful Kids Quest. Teachers, every blessing, go forward. You can do it. We'll do it. Have fun. I invite you, I encourage you, to pass the peace of Christ to the people around you.
Meet somebody from the congregation you haven't met yet. So take advantage of that.
Lots of opportunities for us to engage in our community of faith and in our world. I will be at the Minnesota Coalition for the Homeless annual conference. It meets Thursday and Friday this week, so I will be in the office this Thursday. But know that I'm joining hundreds, I've never been to it before, but hundreds of people from around the state who are working actively around supportive housing and issues of homelessness and affordable housing. And hopefully it will bear much fruit.
And just saw an advertisement to come and get flu shots. So I'm telling you, in your hymnal rack, there should be a little packet of tissues if you're in need of such a thing while the service is going on. And straight out the door on the shelf is a box of cough drops if you need such a thing. And what was the third thing? Hell, I don't know. Still, the hearing assist devices are back there, and they have brand new batteries in them. So if you're having an issue with hearing, please pick one up and try it. I can help you. Kevin can help you. It's a matter of just turn it on and see what it does for you.
Thank you for continuing in the spirit of prayer and lifting up announcements and caring about health and wholeness and being people of health and wellness and well-being. I invite you then to continue in the spirit of prayer, engage our spiritual practices, and practice now our deep spiritual practice of generosity. I invite you to give, I invite you to receive, I invite you to give and receive.
Thank you.
from the 7th chapter, verses 24 through 37. From there, Jesus set out and went away to the region of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know he was there. Yet he could not escape notice. But a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately heard about him, and she came and bowed down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile from Syrophoenicia. She begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. He said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he said to her, "For saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." She went home, found the child lying on the bed, and the demon gone. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went by way of Sidon toward the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. They brought to him a deaf man who had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. He took him aside in private, away from the crowd, and put his fingers into his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephatha," that is, "be opened." And immediately his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. Then Jesus ordered them to tell no one. But the more he ordered them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. They were astounded beyond measure, saying, "He has done everything well. He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." May we feast on these words with thanksgiving.
I worry about the most. I feel the responsibility of the most. I'm growing gray hair because of all of you. And I wonder if that was true for Jesus too. To think and imagine what it felt like to have the lives, the hopes, the dreams, the ambitions, the responsibility for healing all of these people in his hands. And I like thinking that he had to have started out somewhere, that he had to learn how to do this, that he maybe wasn't always so good at. You know, we shared the story. Remember that story? This very first sermon that he preached? They ran him out of the church and onto a cliff. After that, I don't know which way you're going to go. It's hard to say. And I imagine the first time that he held and touched a person sick, dying. I wonder if it was like me. Visit someone who was dying, my hands were shaking. The first time I baptized a baby, I cried. And I've preached some terrible sermons over my years. It helps me a little bit to think about Jesus starting out in his ministry. Imagine that maybe his hands shook. Maybe he didn't always get it right. Maybe he worried too. I watched this week the movie Thor Ragnarok. Anybody seen that movie? Thor Ragnarok. It was good. I recommend it. Thor is the god of thunder. He's a superhero. There's a whole band of superheroes. Lots of stories, very intricate backstories if you want to get into it. But Thor has to save his planet. And all throughout the film, there's funny little moments where Thor gets knocked down and he gets back up again. He says, "Yeah, I get back up again because that's what superheroes do. Yes, we don't run away from our problems, we run toward them because that's what superheroes do." And I'm like, yeah, I get that. And then we get this story from the Gospel of Mark, and Jesus changes his mind. And I'm like, yeah, that's what Jesus does. That's why Jesus is Jesus. Jesus changes his mind. I like hearing this story from the Gospel of Mark. I like hearing stories of Jesus being opened up and changed by the reality of ministry in his life. Have any of you ever heard this story from Scripture, the Syrophoenician woman, where the woman, Jesus denies healing to a woman because she's not one of his own. And she's like, wait a second, Jesus. This is my daughter you're talking about. You're going to heal her. And Jesus is like, yep, okay, you're right. Yes, I will do that. Anybody hear that story before? I remember the first time I heard this story, I was in seminary, and I thought, this is in the Bible? I had no idea. It took me 24 years to hear that story from the Bible. And here we are again today. And then, the second pericope, the second story that was read for you today, another healing, where Jesus has learned from his encounter with the Syrophoenician woman and is integrating his learning into his life. And he uses the words, Ephphatha. Ephphatha. Go ahead, try and say that. Ephphatha. Ephphatha. And go ahead, you can use that if you want to. Try to see if you can use it in just daily conversation sometime this week. It'll be fun. Ephphatha. Ephphatha, everybody. Walk into a room. Ephphatha the door.
Ephesus simply means be open. And with these two pericopes together, it feels like Jesus is saying, keep an open mind. And then I like thinking about this work in his ministry. And I like thinking, and I'm pondering in my own life, that what if the work of Jesus' hands, his actual practice of ministry in the world, is one of the vehicles through which Jesus' mind was changed? Because I know in my world, being a pastor and the work of being a ministry, laying hands on people, opening doors, giving resources, planning ministry, breaking bread, blessing children, blessing gummy bears, all of this work with my hands has literally changed me from the inside out. And I'm not the same person that I was when I started in ministry 10 years ago, and I do not believe that I will be the same 10 years from now. This work has the potential to constantly change you, open you, turn you inside out again and again and again. And you become, and I become, and I think maybe even Jesus became, a person who was willing to open their mind, to be open, to effortize everything, to have a beginner's mind, a willing mind. I can't think of a better word for it, a plastic mind. Holy plastic mind, not holy with holes in it, but like a sacred plastic mind. Plastic isn't that great for us, but a sacred plasticity is good for us. Willing, an opportunity, the willingness to open new pathways in our hearts and in our minds. And I think that the practice of our daily lives is the vehicle through which this is done. Maybe not. We'll see. I'm willing to try it. I think that then that we are going to begin, we will begin a sermon series. It is called Being at Home with God. And we will engage this sermon series by engaging different spiritual practices for the next 6 weeks or so. We will engage spiritual practices like meditation, keeping Sabbath, gratitude, abundance, service, and living in community. Did you get all that? We'll talk about it again. We're starting it today, but we'll continue on for the next 6 weeks or so. Meditation, Sabbath, gratitude, abundance, service, and living in community. And it could have been, and I would have loved to have had the spiritual practice of like watching Thor or reading a lot of books, because those are the spiritual practices that I engage in and I totally love. But I recognize that not everybody wants to watch Thor, and not everybody wants to read a lot of books. Although there's nothing wrong with reading a lot of books. Go home tonight and to this afternoon and read the Gospel of Mark. Go for it. What have you got to lose? Read the passage that was shared for you again today. Read it again every day this week. Try that one too. But I recognize that there are lots of ways for people to connect and engage with God. Engaging a book or a book of the Bible is a great way to connect with God, but it is not the only way, and it is not helpful for us to experience unnecessary guilt about the way that we experience God or compare it to the way that other people experience God. The point of this is that we are all loved and called by God, so it is helpful and maybe even important to find the spiritual practices that are life-giving to you and who you are. We want to embrace what is most fruitful in helping us to grow in love of God and love of others. God loves you. God's steadfast love endures forever. God is the one in whom we live, move, and have our being. And we forget that. How can we forget that? And I know that I do. In the reality of the world in which we daily drive and work and cook and clean and go to work and go to school, what does enduring love have to do with getting bills paid or groceries out of the car or that terrible driver on 35?
5. Zipper merge, for the love of God. Anyway, such lofty ideas, my theology flies out the window on Highway 35. And at 3 o'clock in the morning, when my demons wake me up and I am tormented by the very stupid thing that I have done and the very stupid things, all the stupid things that I've ever done, the myriad ways that I have screwed up, and my servant, oh, that terrible, terrible, terrible servant. Or maybe that's just me. I guess it might just be me. But then I think I hate myself, and then I go from there digging in that groove that I know so well. I'm not married, and that one voice creeps in, and I'm alone, and the self-loathing groove, and I can't get out of it. And it almost becomes like my fears and my anxieties. I have more faith in fear and anxiety than I do in the enduring love of God. Because so much of my head and my heart space is consumed by all the ways that I've screwed up and all the things that I don't know how to do. And I joke about it, but like seriously, if I thought about Jesus as much as I thought about going to Target, I would be a lot better off. Because I think about going to Target a lot. And in my former church, when I first started, the first year was terrible. I'm sorry, it's going to be a lot better. I learned a lot since then. But my first year was really hard. And I'd get to church really early because I thought that if I got to church early enough that I would do better. And then I would crawl into the sanctuary and they pull out the Christ candle. And every Sunday morning for 8 years, I'd light the Christ candle. And sometimes I would just lean my head against it and I would sometimes cry. But every time I lit the Christ candle, every time, 8 years, I took out 4 Sundays for vacation, 8 times 48, and then I added some more for like Good Friday, Christmas, Easter, 400 times I lit the Christ candle. And every time I lit the Christ candle, I would say, Jesus Christ, you are the light of the world. And it did not ensure that that Sunday would be better, or that I would preach a better sermon, or that I wouldn't screw up. But I tell you now that I light candles every day. And every time I light a candle, I say, Jesus Christ, you are the light of the world. I cannot help but look at candles and feel in my heart the words, Jesus Christ, you are the light of the world. That act, the practice of lighting the candle again and again and again, created a new groove in my brain. A habit is what we wear. Habits how we wear our days, and our habits become us. Habits matter because our habits become everyday liturgy. The rhythm of our hours becomes our days, becomes our lives. And if we reorient our habits, we reorient our soul. That's what we're going to try to do over the next few weeks. I encourage you to ephatha along with me. So I invite you to take 2 minutes. I can see the clock. There are 2 questions. Oh, Kevin's already got it. I invite you to take 2 minutes and ponder in your own heart or with the person next to you, what spiritual practice or practices do you engage daily or regularly? What spiritual practices do you engage on a regular basis? And what does ephatha mean to you today? Go ahead. You can talk amongst yourself in the chambers of your own heart.
Any thoughts anybody wants to share?
Well, I invite you to continue in this journey of our spiritual faith, of our faith. Come back next Sunday. We'll talk about meditation. And later on, we will talk about keeping the Sabbath, gratitude, abundance, service, and living in community. May you be Ephrathah. May you Ephrathah this morning. And may you follow the paths and practices of Jesus, because that's what Christians do. Invite us to rise. As we are able to embody our spirit, just sing one of my favorite hymns. Be thou my worship. Encourages us to be ethical.